The Day of Pentecost. The title today, The Day of Pentecost. It was a great day in history. One of the greatest days in history. The Day of Pentecost. And a very important time. It was the coming of the Holy Spirit. How we need the Holy Spirit in our lives daily. Amen. The birth of the church. Great things were happening at the Day of Pentecost. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon believers. If you've not figured it out, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us every single day. Amen? We truly need that, and it's lacking in the church. People who call themselves Christians, the Lord will take care of all that, but we desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit. Coming up on believers here, gifting people, saying, "Here's, I'm gifting you to take this message forward. I'm empowering you. I'm equipping you to go do the work I've got for you to spread this glorious gospel around the world, this message of salvation." The disciples, they were prepared for this moment somewhat, the coming of the Holy Spirit, because through the Bible it gives us passages of how this Holy Spirit was coming, step by step, if you will. And I want to just read a couple of those as we get started. Joel, he promised and prophesied this. He said this, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." That's over in Joel chapter 2. John the Baptist said it this way, "I baptize with water, but he shall baptize them with the Holy Spirit." Over in Matthew chapter 3. In the upper room, Jesus identified the Holy Spirit as a person. So we know that the Holy Spirit is a person. Right before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said this. He said, "John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." That's Acts 1, 5. And then 10 days now after the ascension, after much prayer, the Holy Spirit came upon a group of people that had gathered there in one accord. Let's read just a little bit of that, Acts 2, 1 through 13 on the screen. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, and I pronounce half of these wrong, forgive me, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.' Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.'" The day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, if you will, is a great day of history. 50 days now after the Passover, the day of first fruits, it's referred to. And here is a time that the church is truly born. When Pentecost had fully come, or when the day, it says, of Pentecost, the church itself was born, as we know it today. The harvest of souls, a new beginning when the Holy Spirit came upon the church and upon the believers gathered there. The power of the Holy Spirit delivers us and empowers us on a daily basis from the enslavements of this world. Is the world ever get you down? Are you ever tempted? Don't act like you're not, because I know you are. We all know we are. Do you ever have a bad day? Do you ever say, I need something to help me overcome? The Holy Spirit is here to do that. The birth of the church of the living God, right here, the people of God, a new day, if you will. And here we take it too lightly sometimes. The new man, if you will, and how we are to be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit to serve Christ. So we know that. It's not a new message to us. It was new on this day in history, but we know that. We know we need the Holy Spirit. We know we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, but sometimes it seems like we ignore it. Jesus had instructed the disciples over in Luke. He said, I want you to go and I want you to stay, or I want you to tarry. I want you to be in this place in Jerusalem until you're endued with power, until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Luke 24, he told them that. So they knew what to do, and they had a choice, just like we have a choice every day. And their choice was to obey. To obey. You know what that word means? To obey. In a culture who seems to say, do your own thing, don't worry about obeying, that's not true. Obedience is key to serving God. Amen? If we're going to serve God, we've got to be obedient to what He says. And that's an important part right here, that they were obeying. They were in one place. They did what they were told. They went to that place in the city of Jerusalem where He told them to go, and they waited. We talked in Sunday school this morning about how it's hard for me. I don't know if they did or not, but to wait sometimes. But they were obedient. They did what they were told to do. If you, as a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, want the fullness of the power of the Spirit of God in our lives, if we desire that, we must be obedient. There's just no other way around it. And we're to strive, we're to do what God tells us, and we must be obedient if we want the fullness of the Spirit of God. John 14 on the screen says it this way, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit, the coming of the Spirit here, we're studying today. And He came, and when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They had obeyed. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole place. Suddenly. Here it comes. It startled people. It shocked people, if you will. It was unexpected, even though they knew to go there. It kind of jolts a person. A mighty sound. And it says the sound filled the whole room. That sound was from heaven. It was from God Himself, and it filled the entire house. It goes on to say, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So here it appears, it says, as a single tongue, and then it divides or splits and rest upon each believer. I just believe that the Holy Spirit came and that it's for the whole body. It's for the whole group of people that were there. It's for this whole group, the church, the Holy Spirit is. But individually, it rested upon each one, divided, and the tongue rested upon each one, saying to us today that the Holy Spirit wants to fill you, wants to fill me. We need that. It's a personal infilling that we can ask for, and He does that, and He dwells in the midst of His people and in each believer in the body. So the results of all this, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, the presence and the power of Almighty God in them. Now, how about the presence of God in your life and my life? Well, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I asked the Holy Spirit to fill me, or I haven't, or I have, we're all in different places on this journey. But what about the presence of God in our lives? When is the last time you can really say and be honest with yourself? You're not answering to me, you're answering to yourself and to God. When is the last time that I truly felt the Spirit of God within my heart and my soul? When's the last time when I was praying that I know I had reached heaven? When's the last time in my devotions when I was reading and praying before the Lord that I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Spirit of God was there? When's the last time when I was out by myself in the field or at hunting or doing whatever I enjoy doing and I was praying and I know the Spirit of God touched me? Don't you need it? Yes. Don't I need it? Yes. Does the church need it today in America? Yes. We need an infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need a fresh anointing of the presence of Almighty God. And we need to be praying for it. So the presence and the power of the Spirit of God is what we desire. I hope and pray we desire today. So a critical point here is often neglected. The command to be filled with the Spirit of God is still relevant today. It's still relevant today. It is God's will today to fill every believer as an individual and the corporate body together. Ephesians 5:18 on the screen says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. It's still a command that we need to listen to today. So here they were, the day of Pentecost had come. They were in one place. They heard the wind blowing. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire and separated them and come to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So the next phrase, the next part of this is they began to speak in other tongues. In different languages of all the people gathered there, from people around the world known at that time, were gathered there. That's a God thing. He had the people gathered there when the day of Pentecost came. They could speak and they could hear in their own native language. And a wonderful thing happened here. They were together, and it's clear that they could hear in their own language. Christ was in them. The Spirit had entered into their hearts, and they were filled with a deep sense, with a deep presence of the Spirit of God. We need to be filled with a deep presence, a deep sense, a deep infilling of the power of Almighty God. We need it today, and we're praying for that in the church and in our world, that the Spirit would be there, a deep sense of His presence and power. They were people gathered here from all over the known world at the time, and they had returned to celebrate the feast of the first fruits. They were gathered there, and here comes the day of Pentecost. Supernaturally speaking in other tongues. God had given them that ability. And all those dialects and languages of people were there, and they heard in their own language what the Spirit was saying to them. So they were different reactions to that. One thing, they were amazed, it says. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue, they said. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what's this mean? So here this great happening is, this day of Pentecost, the coming of the birth of the church, the Spirit of God, the infilling of the Spirit, and they're saying, what's this mean? What's going on? So some of them took hold of it. Some of them embraced it. Some didn't. Some said, oh, don't worry about it. They're just drunk anyway. They've had too much wine. So there's different reactions here, but they were all amazed. They knew something had happened. They were astonished. They were looking, and some were attracted. They wanted to investigate. They wanted to know more. What's happening here? How did this happen? So they become seekers of more of God, while others just mocked and said, oh, they've had too much to drink. I want you to imagine the joy of the Lord on that day. Can you imagine the joy of the Lord on this day here? Can you imagine the praises of people going toward heaven and praising God at this moment in time in history? Man, they were praising God. They had joy flooding their hearts. And the great change came upon them because of the Holy Spirit's coming. So, what are you trying to say, preacher? We know this account. We know the day of Pentecost. We know about the church, that kind of thing. I want you to see the providence of God. I want us to see the providence of God here, what God was doing. And I want us to see that man was obeying. Key factor again. Man was obeying what God had told them to do. And we see them in one accord. We see them where he said to be, obeying, and they were in one accord. And then here comes the Spirit's infilling. A great day in the church. A mighty sound, yes, it was there. They saw what appeared to be tongues of fire, yes. What's the end result of all of what we're talking about here? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So, now, here we are in 16. Chapel Church of God. God brought you this way for whatever reason today, and here we are talking about the infilling of the Spirit. So my question to all of us this morning is, what's the Spirit of God saying to you today? You know, no accident that we're here. Some of you came out of habit and routine. Some of you came for whatever reason, so your wife wouldn't chew you out. So you, whatever it is, we're here. So now my question to all of us who are here, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What is he saying to you today? What is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God asking you to participate in the kingdom today? What is it? What is it that the Holy Spirit is saying or asking you to participate in? What kind of ministry? What kind of ministry in the church? What kind of ministry outside the church? What is the Holy Spirit asking you to participate in today? See, only you can answer that. Only you can answer that and pray about that. I'm asking you, what kind of dream do you have for the kingdom of God today? What kind of dream do you have that will only come about because of the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in your life? What kind of dream do you have? What kind of dream for your own life do you have? What kind of dream for your family do you have? What kind of dream for the church at Jones Chapel do we have? What kind of dream and hopes for the future do we have? You have any? I hope so. And it will only be accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is that? We've got to think about it a while, maybe. What dream do you have? What ministry have you always wanted to be a part of? What is something in the back of your mind that's been there for a while, and it might have been years or it may have been months, and you're thinking, if money was no option, or no problem, if my time and my work, if it just wasn't even a consideration, this is what I would do for the kingdom of God. This is what I would do for the church at Jones Chapel. This is what I would be involved in. This is what I do in the mission field worldwide. What is your dream for the kingdom? Oh, you have dreams about yourself and your vacation. You have dreams about getting on a cruise ship. You got dreams about graduation. You got dreams, I'm just going through my summer. You got dreams of the kids, and you got dreams of a house. You got dreams of this, that, or the other. You're trying to get retirement where you can make ends meet. You're trying to do all this. That's all well and good. But what is your dream for the kingdom? Well, I hadn't thought about that. You've got to think about it now. Or just say, just cut me off back there, cut the button off or something. But the Holy Spirit won't allow that. Because you've heard, you know about the day of Pentecost, you know what was happening, you know they were together in one place, you know about the sound of the violent wind, you know about they were all there, you know about the Spirit coming, you know about the tongues of fire that separated and they began to speak in other tongues. And you know what it says here about all these people from around the known world at that time. And they were talking and hearing about the wonders of God in their own tongues. They were amazed. They were perplexed. And they said to one another, what does this mean? And then others said, oh, don't worry about it. They're just drunk anyway. We know that scripture. But what do we know about our dreams? What do we know about today in August, whatever this is, the what is it, 7th? 2016 at Jones Chapel Church of God, as I stand in a pulpit, as you sit on a pew today, and we think about the kingdom of God right here where we're at today. What are those dreams? What is the vision, and how is it being formulated for a new time in a culture that's changing, but a message that will never change? What are our dreams? What are our hopes? And what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Well, the council will take care of it, or the preacher will take care of it, or what? Wait a minute. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? You, as His child, as a Christian, as a son, somebody that's been saved by the blood of Jesus and the power of God resting on you, what is the Spirit of God saying to you? Well, let me see. I ate my Frosted Flakes this morning. I come to Sunday school. I come to church. I guess I'll go to work tomorrow. Okay, what is the Spirit of God saying to you? What's He saying to us as a body? God's great plan of salvation has come. It's come. We know that. Jesus died on Calvary's cross. We know that. We know He arose with victory over hell, death, and the grave. We know that the Holy Spirit has been given. We know that the Holy Spirit is ready to empower us for the ministry. Do we know that or not? There's one that knows it. Does anybody else know it? Wave at me. Throw an apple at me. Do something. But we know that the Holy Spirit is ready to empower us to accomplish the things that He wants us to accomplish. We know that. Yes, we've got it up here. Have we got it here? Have we got it in our heart? We know He's ready to do it. He's ready to fill us. He's ready to empower us to do His work for His glory. So, I guess I'm back to the question, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Would you stand with me? Our Father in heaven, as we stand in your presence here today, we thank you so much for a wonderful, worshipful time this day. We're thankful that we felt your Holy Spirit, we sensed your Holy Spirit, and we're very thankful for that, that you would come be with us this day. And Father, as we go about our day, as we go enter into this week, there'll be a lot of decisions we have to make. There'll be a lot of thoughts upon our mind. There'll be some obligations of work and things that we're obligated to and we want to do our best in. But I pray, God, that we will not leave this place this morning without thinking very hard about the question, what is the Holy Spirit saying to me? What does God want me to do with my life? Well, I'm going back to school. I've started college. I just got married or just having the baby. Well, I'm middle-aged or I'm on up in many years now. You've given us life, you've given us a soul, you've given us victory over this world, and we'd like to praise you for it. But God, if we're still on this earth, no matter our age, I believe the Spirit of God is directing, and I believe it's time for the church right here at Jones Chapel, and certainly around this world, to ask that question over and over, what is the Spirit saying to me today? What ministry am I to be involved in for the kingdom's sake? Lord, what would you have me to do this week for the glory of God? So God, it's a question for all of us individually. It's a question for our families. It's certainly a question for the body of Christ at Jones Chapel. We thank you for Pentecost. We're thankful for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Father, in these few moments we have before we walk out these doors, I would ask you, Lord, to speak directly to us. And if there's someone who needs to be saved today to ask Jesus to forgive them of sin, and they know it full well, that today they would come to this altar and ask that. If there's people here that know they're saved by the blood of Christ and they know full well they need to be filled with the Spirit of God and give Him the whole life, the whole person, and just surrender it over and say, here it is, Holy Spirit, come fill me and take control of my life, that'll happen today. So, Father, we humble ourselves before you and we pray for a great freedom to confess sin, to be saved, a great freedom to say, God, I've quit dreaming. Forgive me. God, give me the dream you want me to have for my life, for my family, for this church. Holy Spirit, come and empower me today. So, Lord, here we are, and we just ask, God, you speak to us, and that we'll be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.